This time on episode 177 of Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., we're going to be talking about the Luke Cage episode, D-W-Y-C-K.
I'm Alan Grisby from the Strange and Unusual podcast, a proud member of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the show you're listening to now. The opinions expressed are those of each individual host. Check out all the other podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com and get ready because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
You have been granted clearance by Director Phil Coulson. Stand by for S.H.I.E.L.D. debriefing. All information to be discussed here is classified and may only be discussed among agents granted clearance by the S.H.I.E.L.D. director.
Now it's time for your scheduled debriefing. I'm Director Stargate Pioneer.
And I'm Agent Haley.
Welcome to Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., a Marvel Comic Universe fan show. This show is recorded on Wednesday, May 24th, 2017. Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is a fan-based podcast on the ABC television show, Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Marvel's Daredevil Jessica Jones, Luke Cage, and Iron Fist on Netflix, the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and the Marvel Comic Universe in general.
Because of acid baths.
Yeah. If you want to talk to us about boiling your skin in acid, you can catch us on our website, legendsofshield.com.
You can send us a voicemail at 844-THE-BUS-1. That's 844-843-2871.
You can send us a Facebook picture about your skin boiling in acid at our Facebook account. That's Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. Podcast.
You can hit us up on Twitter at Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D.
And you can always catch our video companions on our network's YouTube channel. That's at youtube.com/GunnaGeek.
And remember, Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is a proud member of the GunnaGeek.com network.
Today, we are discussing the next episode in the Great Luke Cage Netflix run. Yes, we are a series behind on Netflix. We're also a series behind on Fox, but we'll get to that later this summer. And we're going to be discussing the Luke Cage episode, D-W-Y-C-K. Haley, who directed this great episode?
This episode was directed by Tom Shankland. He has 21 directing credits going back to 1995, including an episode of Jericho, 3 episodes of House of Cards, 1 episode of Iron Fist, and this episode of Luke Cage.
The episode was written by Christian Taylor, who has 12 writing credits to his name, including 3 episodes of 6 Feet Under, 1 episode of Lost, which I have not really seen, although they did start playing it at the gym on DVDs, so I've been catching episodes here and there, but I have no idea what the story is, so there you go. 3 episodes of Teen Wolf, Christian Taylor wrote, 15 episodes of Star Wars, The Clone Wars, and 2 episodes of Luke Cage, Now You're Mine, and this one, D-W-Y-C-K. Oh, by the way, Christian Taylor is also producer. He produced 6 Feet Under, Lost, Teen Wolf, and Luke Cage. So they let him out so he could actually write this episode. I need to talk about the elephant in the room right now. Haley, we're minus one agent.
Yes. She's on a secret mission. We can't talk about it.
She is. It was late breaking. She could not be here tonight. She sends her hello. She wants to say hi to everybody, and she will be back with us next week. We're talking about our wonderful Agent Lauren. So back to the episode, D-W-Y-C-K. This had a lot going on in it, a lot of stories that were underway. Haley, do you have a favorite that you want to talk about?
Favorite. Well, I like that Marvel maintained their theme of, if we're going to show you our hot shirtless guy, he's got to have an oozing gut wound.
He had a chest wound and a gut wound.
Mm-hmm. But he's only required to have the gut wound.
Was he just shot twice? I seem to remember he was shot more than twice.
He was shot twice with the magic bullets.
Mm.
He was shot a lot of times with like regular little bullets, but those don't count.
If you shoot him where the magic bullets go in with a regular bullet, would it penetrate or does it heal and the bullet can't go through?
I don't know. I don't think so, because it's not just his skin. She mentioned that it's all of his soft tissue.
Right.
Acts like that. Like, Velcro is what they compared it to. So I don't know if a regular bullet in the bullet hole would actually do anything.
See, I'm thinking no, because they could not make an incision in the bullet hole. Like, it had healed over itself. So that's what I'm thinking. And unfortunately, Lauren's not here to make the determination. We'll have to ask her that next time. But yeah, so you had the oozing gut wound, but you did get a shirtless scene. Matter of fact, there was a couple of times he took off a shirt.
Yeah, with his oozing gut wound.
Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, Claire or Misty did not take off their shirt, so I was slightly disappointed at that.
Yeah, but you got a flashback to the sex scene from the first episode.
Oh, that's right, Misty sex scene. Please, girl, we know you did it. What exactly did the inspector say when she was in the room with Misty about talking about that?
I don't remember.
Yeah, it was something like that. It was either a look or just a please or something like
that. Like, everybody knows.
So let's go there right now. So Misty spent the episode in the interrogation room in the police station. Haley, what was that all about?
Well, I don't know if you remember this, but she kind of choked out a witness last episode. So she's got to do some mandatory, voluntary, quotey fingers, counseling.
In an interrogation room. So obviously she knows she's being monitored. Oh, by the way, the witness that she was choking out was Claire.
Yes.
So it's a good thing that Claire is still around. And this is just a case of there's not a lot of bullets in the police station captain's gun. You know, you've had your police force gutted because they were all on the bad guy's payroll. Misty's one of the only ones left. So you kind of have to determine whether she's good or not to go back on the street. And then whether you want her on the street. And they decided, yeah, the inspector said, yeah, go get him.
Yeah, well, from a story point, it gives us some backstory. And the counselor she's with kind of spells it out for us. Like, you should be somewhere besides, you know, a detective at an inner city precinct. Like, you're smart enough and capable enough. You should have moved up by now, or you could have been a Fed, or, you know, you could have done more. Why didn't you? And she explains why. You know, we get her backstory about her cousin. And it kind of explains why this highly capable cop is in this particular position for this particular story.
This shrink was mean, bringing in the can of lemonade specifically designed to draw the reaction from her. This is the first time that I watched this episode, so I didn't know whether this was a good guy, bad guy. Maybe this guy was from S.H.I.E.L.D. I had no idea. Turns out he was just a cop shrink.
Yeah, he was exactly what he said he was.
But you never know. This is a Marvel Comic Universe show.
But I like that at the very beginning, she tells you somebody's watching on the other side of that glass. And just like, you're just about to the point where you're like, no, they just put it in this room because it's the set they already had. And then, you know, boom, you hit the other side of the glass and you see the captain's there.
You didn't see that until the very end, until the interrogation, until the therapy session was all the way over. And then you see her on the opposite side of the table in the interrogation room.
So at about that point, you'd bought, though, that, oh, nobody is watching because you hadn't seen anybody yet.
Misty decided to take this on. She could have called her union rep, but she's like, no, let's just go ahead and do this. If I'm in her position, I don't know if I take that chance, because you don't know whose side anybody's on at this point in time. So you might call it because of plot, as Neil always says, but I don't know. I was uncomfortable with that part of the storyline of where it was going. I think it was just meant to get Misty, a little bit of Misty's backstory, as you said, and then get her back on the street at the end after Luke Cage.
Well, and I mean, this is plot and probably a little bit internal character logic, but he spelled it out for her. Like, this is where she's going to end up anyways. Like, even if she brings in a union rep and they talk about it, like, she's at least going to have to do counseling. And if it comes down to it, something more could happen. Like, she could be suspended. She could completely be fired. You know, she choked out a witness. That's a big deal. It's not something you can do.
And her partner was on the payroll and she didn't have a lick of an idea of what was going on.
Nope. But like you said, neither did anybody else.
Yeah, and that's almost a fair enough assessment, but she's supposed to be better than that. She's supposed to see the pieces in motion. And I didn't correlate to that. This is what made her such a great basketball player. She was able to put the ball where everybody was going to be because of her vision on the court. And the same applies in the police department. And she just did not see Scarf doing anything. Her partner, by the way, if you're just joining us for the first time, her partner's name was Scarf, and he's, of course, dead because he was killed by a bad guy who's now dead as well. There's a lot of dead people in this. How many dead people do we have, main characters that are dead right now? So there's Scarf, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then there's Mariah's cousin.
Cottonmouth,
he's dead.
There's all those kids that did the gun deal at the beginning of the series.
Yeah.
Pop is dead.
There is Reva's dead, but that was before the series started. There's the people in the prison that are dead.
Yep.
Which, again, is before the series started, but we got the flashbacks to that because we got Luke Cage origin start. So, yeah, there's a lot of dead bodies in this. Are there more dead bodies in this one than there were in Jessica Jones?
Maybe. I don't know. The Purple Man started racking up bodies towards the end.
He did. Especially with the neighbor, with the explosive. Yeah. There were some bodies that were racked up. You're right. I don't know. We'll see where this goes. We got a few more episodes left. Talking about bad guys controlling things like the Purple Man, Diamondback is controlling things. He's the man in charge, whether everybody wants to admit it or not. It was interesting at the end when they were having the summit of the bad guys, right? All the other bosses, they had their hands on the table and they just sat there and they didn't make a move. And of course, if they did, odds are several of them, if not all of them, were going to end up dead. And I was thinking about that. Maybe in mass, they could have taken out Diamondback, but Shades was behind them on the other side. So I think Shades and Diamondback had everybody covered.
Yeah.
So Diamondback is in control, though.
Well, yeah, but he's secretly been in control this whole time because Cottonmouth was working for him from the beginning.
Those that don't buy from him, die.
Die. Yep.
Right.
And I was going to say, Mariah needs a brute to work with her. You know, she's good for the chess game, but when it comes down to cracking skulls, that's not really her thing.
She's not doing a great job of manipulating Diamondback. She was doing a fair job at manipulating Shades, thinking that she could manipulate Shades, but it wasn't working, and Domingo as well. But it didn't work once Diamondback got in the room.
Well, because Diamondback walked in the room and started putting caps in people's skulls. Like, there's not a lot to manipulate in that situation.
Especially when you can take out two guys with one bullet. That was impressive.
Yep.
Again, the death... the death scenes galore. There was the guards outside. There was the actual bosses on the inside. So, yeah. Okay. Domingo, who's running the club now? Is it Mariah? Is it Shades? Is it Diamondback? Who is running the club?
I think Mariah probably owns the club. It looks like she had Shades in there running it.
Okay. So I was taking a look at the club, who we had a musical guest this week, which was the Delphonics. And they did a musical number, but for the first time, I don't know if it was the first time or not, but we saw the shot from behind the stage. And I was taking a look at how many people were actually in the club and in the balcony. There's not really that many people in the club. I'm wondering how they actually stay in business. There's not a lot of money.
Well, remember, somebody was murdered in this club like a week ago.
But there's not enough space for a lot of people from what they were showing. It was like 8 tables maybe worth of people. And that's it. That's all the place could actually hold.
Well, if it's a club, you aren't really supposed to have a lot of people sitting. There's supposed to be people up dancing at the bar, that kind of thing. But again, maybe it's one of those that it's supposed to be kind of a exclusive club. So there's a high cover charge and drinks are expensive and all that stuff. And you don't get bulk. You just make it up in per unit costs.
Okay, we'll go with that for now because it's as good as explanation that I have of anything else. And the employees have to be dropping left and right too because, well, Luke Cage is not either a bartender or a dishwasher anymore. They've gotten rid of some of the waitresses. So, you know, it's not a lot of people to run the place.
Yep.
So Shades, I think, is running a fine line because you know he wants to run things and you just don't know how much his strings are being pulled by Diamondback. He even tries to get his point across with Diamondback, not control him, not tell him what to do, but just say, look, you know, we need to deal. And he's like, look, I just like the song.
Well, I think Shades thought he was going to move into Cottonmouth's position. Like that was the next step for him. And Diamondback shows up and, you know, it's looking like that's not necessarily going to be the case.
So you might know this. I don't. But Domingo was left alive. And I'm just kind of wondering why, like, he was the face of the bad guy boss. And so he's left alive just so we have a familiar face, I guess. I don't know. You probably know more than I do at this point in time.
Well, I don't remember, really. But he mentioned that, you know, Domingo's connected. And he needs one witness to go out and tell the story. So that's why it gets to be Domingo's, because Domingo's connected.
Okay, that's fair enough. But once you tap into that, then there's no more use for this guy.
Yeah, except he's still connected. So taking him out would be a bigger deal than taking out some of these other guys.
I was thinking maybe there was some strategic advantage to a guy that just left candy wrappers on the dance floor.
I don't think so.
Luke Cage had a eventful time after getting shot by Diamondback several times. His brother, Willis, and he's trying to figure that whole thing out. It doesn't make any sense to him throughout the whole thing, but he keeps it going on throughout the episode of trying to figure out what Willis is doing and what his dad really was. Are they really brothers? That sort of thing. In the process, he takes out two cops and that gets him noticed, but there's a larger strategic theme behind that, isn't it? We definitely see that there's some tension going on the streets of Harlem.
Well, you know, we're coming off of a few years really where, you know, police shootings have kind of been something we're seeing a lot in the news, police brutality. So we see the story with Misty dealing with her actions in the previous episode and the fallout of that. And then we see these cops who lawfully pretty much stop him. Like, he matches the description of somebody they're looking for because he is the someone they're looking for. So that they would stop him is reasonable. But then do they resort to the use of weapons a little too soon? That's something that you have to look at going into this episode. And then, you know, we see Luke put his body between the cop and the shots fired by the younger officer. But then we get to the end of the episode and the police captain says, we walk a higher path. Because of the position we have to be above some of the things that are happening in the neighborhoods that we police. And I think that's something that's going to resonate probably right now in a way that maybe it wouldn't have 10 years ago, and hopefully it won't 10 years from now.
It's definitely been in the news for quite a bit, probably closer to the time that they were writing and filming this. And they might have planned to go here anyway to describe what was going on, because in real life, as this was being made and filmed, there was definitely a look at, there was the Black Lives Matter, there was the whole backlash, Blue Lives Matter, cops, whatever, and really didn't ever get solved. There was some court battles that were ensuing, but it's still an issue today. I'm not going to say it has gone away. So I'm glad they're touching upon this, especially in this episode. And I'm wondering if we're going to see more of it in the future or not, in maybe not in Luke Cage, but maybe in The Defenders, or maybe Luke Cage season two. And I think it's worthy to investigate a little further, not just on the surface of things as well. We'll see where it goes from here. But I'm glad they at least touched upon it in this episode.
Yeah, I think we're more likely to see it in season two of Luke Cage, just because there's going to be so much going on in The Defenders. I don't know if they're going to be able to deal with those kind of social issues.
Right. Absolutely. So Luke is hurt and they're trying to fix him. And what has to happen is they got to get these bullet fragments out, because they're actually migrating to more areas of his organs that's going to do a lot more damage, but they can't get into them to pull them out. So Claire decides to go see the doctor that was at the prison that was basically the origin of Luke Cage. Carl was his name back then. And so they go see this doctor, who, Noah Bernstein, and he's at first like, oh no, I don't know what's going on. But then he just opens up, because he's stolen just about everything from the lavatory and put it in his barn. So he's got a fully functional lab going on, and maybe torture chamber would be a good way to put it.
Mad scientist lair, I think, is where we're at right now. I don't know that I would call it a torture chamber yet.
So kind of like Mr. Blue in the Hulk movie.
Yeah. Kind of.
Got a little of that going. Oh, by the way, I just happen to have this acid bath that you can lay down. Oh, and I have an aspirator so that you can breathe while you're being boiled alive by acid. Oh my gosh. Oh, I can't imagine that. It's got to hurt. It doesn't do anything to his skin, but it's still got to hurt.
Well, he has other, like, soft tissues as well. And the whole point of this is that it's going to break whatever the bonds are that makes his skin super strong. So I think he definitely feels that.
Oh yeah, he does. He'd be screaming if it wasn't for the mask. I'm sure. I'm positive. Matter of fact, he even does the fist with Claire at the end.
Before he passes out from the pain.
Jeez. The Netflix that I was watching flashed forward in the middle of the credits. I wasn't able to stop it into the really beginnings of the next episode, which, spoiler, starts exactly where we end up here. But I didn't get too far into it, so I don't know what happens. But if I had to guess, the fact that he passes out has something to do with his skin relaxing or something. I don't know. We'll see what happens.
Spoiler alert, Luke Cage does not die in the next episode.
Oh, awesome. That's great to know, because I was worried about his appearance in The Defenders.
Yep, I knew you were.
And by the way, Lauren just saw him at Comicpalooza, and she talked a little bit about that last episode. So if you're interested to hear about that encounter, go back to Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. number 176. And unfortunately, Lauren can't be here today, so she can't talk about the medical background of what's exactly going on with Luke Cage, what's going on with the starfish, the cells, the alone cells, whatever they're called. And I expect a full report from her when she gets back.
Well, I can correct one thing. It wasn't starfish. It was seashells.
Yeah, there you go. See, I need to be corrected on that. It's not a rocket. It's not my expertise. I don't know. So how did you feel about Mariah and how she ended up? Because she wanted to come out on top, and she definitely did not.
She finally had an out from this criminal world. Like, she was probably going to sell, you know, clubs and other assets she had that maybe are not something a future councilwoman would have, and be able to go completely legitimate, which is what she wanted to do the whole time, is be just a little bit of a corrupt politician and not have to deal with, you know, the criminal underbelly of Harlem. And Diamondback pulls her back in just when she thinks she's out.
I know. And I won't count her out, because she's got too much Mama Mabel in her, as well as just pure crazy because she killed Cornell. But right now she is not top dog, and she understands it. And I think it's a win for her just to get out of this alive. And unfortunately, nobody knows that she actually killed Cornell except for a very few people. Like, her assistant, Alex, was like, oh, Luke Cage, that's the man who killed your cousin. And
Shades is the only one that knows.
Well, unless Shades has told somebody like Diamondback.
I don't think he would, because he wants to keep that card as something only he can use.
It's fair enough. I didn't know either way. I was just speculating if he did. So I can go with that, Haley. You know, good job there. Headcanon accepted. And then back to Misty, because we didn't really talk about it too much, but she was on the streets as a kid, which led to her being a cop. And because she was thirsty for lemonade, her friend, it was her friend or sister?
I think it was her cousin.
Her cousin was basically murdered in a sexual violent crime.
Yeah, very brutal.
And they didn't find her body for 2 weeks or something like that. And it was just very brutal. And that is what's made her the cop that she is today, trading lead for lead, metal for metal, like bullets for handcuffs, is how she described it. At first, I thought she was going to go off into like gunslinging Old West vigilante sort of thing. But no, she was talking about legitimately trying to handle things underneath the law and be somebody that cares.
But police a population that is not always policed in a just manner. Like, instead of criminalizing the civilians, like criminalizing the criminals, going after the dangerous criminals and protecting the civilians.
Yeah. Somebody's got to do it. And I'm glad she's there doing it, because if not, I think the whole Harlem area would have just degenerated into nothingness at this point, because there's very little in the terms of authority figures that are around. I know there are some. You got some councilwomen, you've got council people, you've got some cops left, but you don't know who's corrupt and who's not. You've got these massive gang organizations that are coming in trying to take over. Matter of fact, did you catch the allusion to the Chinese?
The Chinese got their own thing going on downtown.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. So I think this was a great episode to jump back in after the season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., because it was at, even though it was kind of a cliffhanger with Luke Cage getting shot, it was definitely a different paced episode than last episode, especially at the end with Willis Stryker coming in and shooting Luke Cage. And this was basically dealing with a lot of the aftermath of that. And so I enjoyed this being the episode that we reintegrate after a couple of months after not actually watching any or talking about Luke Cage. So really excited to get to the rest of the series. How many episodes do we have left, you know?
I think there's 13 total, so there's 4 left.
All right. Looking forward to getting through that within the month, maybe more. So Haley, do you want to talk a little bit about the, we'll just transition into this, talk a little bit about the future here, because Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was renewed. Inhumans is coming in the fall. We talked a little bit about it, but we've made some plans going forward here because of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Inhumans are moving into Friday nights. We've decided on our main recording to be Sundays at 1 o'clock, and that will start in a couple of weeks. It's not going to start right now. So on the Sunday, the June, the, what is it? The 9th?
7th, I think. Wait, which one of these is a Sunday?
June the 11th is what I have.
June 11th. June 7th is a Wednesday.
June 11th, we will then transfer our big flag to Sundays at geeks.live. But because there is so much going on that we're going to try, we can't commit to anything, we can't promise, but we're going to try 2 shows a week. So we'll tell you when that other show each week is going to be because of the TV schedule shuffle within the Gunna Geek family. Other shows are moving around to different places, so our Wednesday slot might not be there. So just stay tuned to our Twitter account.
For part of the summer, at least, it'll be Wednesday, Sunday, and that Wednesday show might move at some point. We'll let you know when we find out.
Exactly. So we'll do that.
But things to look forward to that we're going to be talking about this summer. We're going to finish up Luke Cage. We're probably going to start talking about Legion on FX. We're going to get into Iron Fist finally. We've got Spider-Man coming out this summer. And then towards the end of the summer, we'll get into Defenders. And then in the fall, we'll have Inhumans and probably a Punisher series to talk about, along with Thor Ragnarok. So there's a lot of stuff coming up this year.
There is a lot. Marvel is keeping us busy. Before we close out for the week, Haley, do you have any quotes from the episode?
Of course I do.
All right. Let's hear them.
You'd be more candid at a Starbucks.
I gotta go get coffee.
A man with too many friends comes to ruin, but there is a friend that comes closer than a brother. I know you're going to appreciate this one. Luke Cage ain't dead until you find his body.
I know. Oh, yeah. Which is entirely true. Show me the body. And that gets back to Sitwell. Show me the body.
We had coffee.
Had? There was no coffee with the coffee.
I don't just seek justice. I stalk it.
It was a little frightening. A little bit. But understandable. I mean, with a cop, you have to have a certain attitude. So I get that. But stalking? I don't know. It's a strong word coming from a law authority.
You would use my personal tragedy for strategic political advantage? I've taught you well.
I've taught you well. Well, of course, her assistant Alex is what Mariah was talking about. That was one of the best lines of the whole thing. And wasn't there a line before that? Like she said, Cornell taught me well to Shades or something before that?
I don't remember.
I might have been to Alex just right before. Cornell taught me well. He taught me how to survive, that sort of thing. So, yeah, it was bringing back that. It was just perfectly placed.
We walk a higher path.
Supposed to.
Yep. You don't scare me. No, I don't think I do.
I don't think she has very many emotions other than anger and revenge because she's just not affected by too much.
You can't bargain with me. You buy or you die.
That's right, Diamondback, scary guy. I'm not going to cross him.
I think he wants to deep fry you, like a turkey.
Like a rotisserie? No, it's deep fry, like a turkey. Yeah, that's what it looked like to me. Although, if it really was deep frying like a turkey, there would have been splatters all over the place, like William Shatner.
Did you not see the acid popping off out onto the floor?
There's a little bit of that, but there was no William Shatner, I'm going to burn my garage down.
You don't know what happens in the next episode.
For those of you that didn't catch it, William Shatner actually did burn his house down by frying a turkey. Or is that it?
That's it.
All right. So next episode, we're going to be taking it down the road of Luke Cage. It will be next Wednesday, the 31st of May at this point in time. Luke Cage, season 1, episode 10, Take It Personal. And hopefully we will have Lauren back with us. So great episode. Looking forward to the last 4. So I just want to say thank you to everybody that has gotten back to us with feedback from our season four finale episode for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. We'll be running that down next week. We really just didn't have time. There was some extreme weather events that have occurred throughout several of us on Gonna Geek this week, and I was not immune from that. So yeah, didn't have any time to pull that together. Sorry, guys. But we will talk about that next week. And just thank you very much for all the love and all the congratulations of getting renewed and all the downloads. We definitely appreciate that.
Yeah, thank you very much. I think Lauren did her live tweet this week.
She did. She did Monday night. She swapped to Monday nights, by the way, for tweeting during the summer.
Well, I will say this for her then. I know she appreciates everyone that interacts with her when she does those live tweets. It is fun to just ramble on and on about the episode as you watch it, but I know she really appreciates having people that interact with her while she does that. So hit her up on Mondays when she's doing those live tweets, and I know she'll appreciate it.
That will be at our joint Twitter account, at Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. So until then, until the next live tweet, until next week, I'm Director Stargate Pioneer.
And I'm Agent Haley.
We'll see you guys next week. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening. If you want to leave us feedback, go to gunnageek.com and you will find all our contact information and other shows. You can also visit legendsofshield.com where you'll find our complete archive of podcasts. The music heard on this podcast is by Kevin McLeod, found at incompetech.com, and also artists on pond5.com and audiojungle.net. The opinions heard on this podcast are those of the individual hosts and do not represent Stargate Pioneer Productions, Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., or Gunna Geek. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is the property of the Disney Corporation, Marvel Studios, and ABC. No infringement is intended.
Another one. Great.
Another tornado? Good grief.
It's not a tornado, it's just a severe thunderstorm. But yeah, it was literally, as I pressed stop, I heard this. And at this point in time, Chuck Cage would be turning everything off and running downstairs with the cats.
We're more extreme than that. We podcast through the tornadoes.
I have actually podcast through a tornado before, so this is not the first time.
I think I have too. I think I did it in a trailer.
Oh my God. Not safe, Haley. Not safe. Ooh. I did not see the Flash finale, but...
I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, good, bad?
I don't know. It's a surprise to me.
Have you seen the Supergirl finale?
Yes, that I liked. I thought it was good. I knew it was going to happen, but...
I got all the way up to Mon-El leaving Earth, and that's when it cut off. Or that's when I stopped on the treadmill this morning, so I'm going to see the rest of that tonight. And Arrow, I guess, too. Got to get that in.
I need to get back to running. It just sucks because I can't run after work because it's 100 and whatever god hot degrees.
And you don't get it up early.
It's only 101 now. Yeah.
And you can't do a treadmill?
I don't have a treadmill. My apartment complex has a treadmill, but they close at 6.
Mm. Well, good luck with that endeavor. I'm supposed to do the half marathon still. So I'm back to running, but I'm using compression socks to control the plantar fasciitis. And it's a pain in the putting those on. It takes me 5 minutes to put the socks on. Have you ever used compression socks?
No.
They're impossible. You have to like pull them inch by inch over your feet to get, and then they're not in the right position. So you got to take them off and do it again. It's a really big pain in the rear end. And then I got compression sleeves to go over socks, which is better, but it's still a pain to do. That's good. I forget you're the wealthy engineer now, aren't you?
I don't know if I'd use the word wealthy. I am the not poverty-stricken engineer now.
I was prepared to spend multiple weeks up there, but the 16-year-old needs to get back for... something about practice for nationals again, because you know it's funny that I say that out loud. It's kind of like the Glee, we got to get ready for regionals. It's the whole thing over again. Time to get ready for nationals again.
Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is copyright 2017.